Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ladies and gents, it's the football ramble, smashing down your doors like the neighbourhood vandal. Whoop, whoop, sound of the police. Yes, Marcus here, ladies and gentlemen. Pete's here as well.
Hello, you.
And Luke's here.
All right.
No Jim.
No, he's the neighbourhood vandal.
No, he's been put away.
He's been kicked out.
Temporarily.
Naughty boy.
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
Either here or advert for a car.
I'll decide.
He may be back, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to have you here. Thank goodness you made it. It would have been lonely without you. Now, the Oscars were on this week. Don't tell me they weren't. If you could recreate a film using footballers as actors or managers or people in the world of football, which film would you choose and who'd be in it? Luke.
It's me first, is it?
Big time,
that's
baby.
That's a bit annoying.
Jim's not here.
No, I'm aware of that.
So we leapfrog him.
No, I like Luke's answer, it seems.
Are you struggling?
No.
No.
Shut up.
You mean yes. And
this is my answer.
Go on.
Keep
stretch
going.
Out.
No, I've got an answer, actually. And my answer is The Sting. Have you seen the film The Sting?
Like it.
70s film.
Yeah. Yes.
Pair of confidence...
Robert Redford.
Tricksters, Robert Redford and Paul Newman.
Yeah. Oh, I'm playing like Paul Newman, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And I would be one of them, obviously. Haven't decided which one yet because I just thought this answer.
Yep.
And my partner in crime, literally in
You'd
crime.
You'd be in it?
Yeah. You said, that's the question.
Well, if you could recreate it. Okay, fine, you can star in it if you want.
I am starring in it.
He's got points on the dollar.
Yeah.
He's got merchandising.
Yeah. I've relinquished my fee to take percentage points on the profits. Okay. Of course I'm going to be in it.
Let's see if you get any of my points, though.
And I would go along with, I would have as my co-star...
Here we go.
I'm going to go for Vito Minoni.
Why?
Because he looks like a bit of a film star. He looks like... A sort of henchman, so he can be in it as well.
Yeah.
And we'll go on capers. We'll. Wrong.
Is that
a sound effect? Your
is that Vito
voice?
Minoni?
No, I don't know. It just says wrong.
Oh, you're just wrong.
Me, Vito Minoni, The Sting, deal with it.
Okay. And there's the late Luke Moore, ladies and gentlemen. When I scrawled on a piece of paper to you, Jack Warner, the Jackal, you should have taken it.
I won the points in the capital. Oh, no, I didn't win that over, did I?
No.
Fair enough.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, if you're not listening to the Capital One Cup show, you've just spoilt that. Luke didn't win it.
Pete or I won it.
Yeah,
we'll leave it at that.
Jim might have turned up for that one.
Come on, guys. I am Paul Newman of the Ramble, right? So who's going to be my Robert Redford? Who
that'd be definitely me.
I can't have you, can I?
You can.
You've got
world of
blue eyes.
I'm in the world of football.
That's true, yeah. I've had a stinker.
In a way. Pete, what you got?
I would go for the film Platoon.
Oh, nice.
And I would use the ex-manager of Sunderland Football Club. Because he loves a knee slide, and that's what the front cover is. He's like, hands up. Oh!
I thought you were going to go a sort of Jermaine Defoe, William Defoe kind of thing.
I'd like to see, if I can expand on that a little bit, if you don't mind, I'd like to see Alex Ferguson in the Tom Berenger role and Roy Keane in the William Defoe Elias role.
Lovely subplot.
Right,
lovely. Clashing. One's the old timer, the other one's a little bit younger, a little bit newer.
No, I like that.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Platoon, what a film as well.
Yeah. It would be quite... Surely someone must have photoshopped that.
No doubt.
DiCanio sneak sliding with the backdrop of...
I think someone might have recreated it with old Mourinho, actually.
Okay, right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, another
possibly,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, DeCanio, if you can't agree personal terms with DeCanio, which you won't,
we'll go for Mourinho.
Then you could have Mourinho in there. That's not bad. That's good.
No one's going to hear that answer because they're still going to be laughing at the very notion of me being Paul Newman.
Yes.
So don't worry about it. Yeah.
I've thought I'd have... remember Tevez, Ever and Park had a good friendship?
Yeah.
Yes.
Three men and a baby, those three.
Who's the baby? Who's playing the baby? Yanazai.
Yeah. Like it. Yeah. You've saved me
I've
there.
Done better with your two than I have my own.
But what does that tell you?
Nothing. Yeah.
They provide better raw materials than you do.
Yeah.
Steve Bull, Wolf of Wolverhampton.
Not
Alan,
as good.
Alan Pardew, Nutty Professor.
Better.
Very
much
good.
Better.
Thank you.
Alan Pardew, Begbie in Trainspotting.
Yeah. I think Pete's got the answer. With the help of Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete got the answer.
Let's never speak of this again. Yeah, that guy the day.
Just thank your lucky stars, listeners, that Jim's not here, because that could have been worse.
We had a listener who did a best of 2012 YouTube, didn't he, of the best of the Ramble over the year.
Right.
This one will not be in the 2013 one.
Yeah. Is there such a thing as the best?
Okay.
Least worst.
The 2013 one.
The better.
The least worst of the Ramble, perhaps.
Jim wasn't in it at all.
No.
So
well,
dig.
There you go. Make your own minds up. Why that is the case. We're not going to talk about the League Cup final on this show because we've done a whole bloody show about that. We were there. There was some cracking capers involving the three of us. So
football and chat. Everybody loved it.
If you're new to the Ramble, that is a reference to Tim Lovejoy.
If you're new to the Ramble, I'm not interested.
Sorry. So do check that out. The Capital One Cup final review show. It's there.
Released just before this one, yeah.
You're damn right. So let's go to the Premier League.
Yay.
Let's go to the Premier League. Hull 1, Newcastle 4, Alan Pardew.
Off you go, Pete.
Good away win.
Move on.
Yeah. No, it was a good 3 points.
Solid. You know, takes to deflect some of the pressure off the team, I suppose.
Uh-huh. Lost their heads, etc. I think something that's annoyed me about it is some of the reaction.
The media has lost their heads. They have lost their collective heads.
And do you know
heads.
What it's made me think? It wasn't that bad. And I'm like, why are you making me think it wasn't that bad when it was really bad?
Well, it's something you see on a football field pretty much every weekend.
If he'd have properly stuck one on him...
Well, I would have done that for £100,000.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
That's not very clear indeed.
Well, the difference being...
Well, he's been fined £100,000. He doesn't get a bonus.
The difference being...
A little one-up comes out of his
ding,
head.
Ding, 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 ding. First Premier League manager to headbutt a player.
Of course, you see it quite a lot with players, but you don't see it with managers.
No, it is shocking.
Absolutely outrageous.
It's a 3-1 up.
Yeah.
Why are you getting annoyed?
It's more just the fact that, you know, the Newcastle bench could do with a heck of a lot of calming down. You know, he's been done it before.
He's got a lot of previous plans.
He's pushed a linesman. He shouted at, you know, opposing managers and stuff.
He's had a bust out of Wenger as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That was at West Ham.
You know, but like, you know.
Oh, shut your noise, yeah.
But you can imagine, like, you can't imagine, like, Bobby Robson having, you know, John Carver jumping up and down and screaming at everyone, Steve Stone leaping off the bench every 5 minutes.
But that's what Pardew said, didn't he? He said, oh, next time I'll make sure John Carver gets it. No.
Worse than you.
Yeah, no.
He's a nut job.
Yeah.
He's a stone cold psychopath.
I think
I'll get someone to do it for me.
Last time we talked about Pardew behaviour in this way, it was with the linesman, and we said at the time he's a very low quality of individual, and I think he really is. And I think for all the sort of charm he tries to put on, the smiles he tries to give in post match interviews and stuff, he just is a terrible piece of work, and that sort of thing does show. And it's absolutely outrageous that he behaved in that way. I don't. Fair enough, you guys.
No, it is. I know. I agree with you. And I agree with that.
I agree with you. But what I would also say is that no one really talked about the Myler push. You know. It was all started from Myler.
It wasn't really a push, though.
Well, it was a high hand.
Pardew was deliberately trying to slow the game down, and Myler needed to get the ball for a throw-in, and Pardew got in his way, and then Pardew stuck his head in there. And besides, even if the player does push the manager, he's the manager. Let the referee deal.
I'm exactly on the same page. I think it's just more the fact it's the reaction to some of the media. Mm. You know, in the same way that the football manager that a lot of like the Sun and the Mirror and the Express get really excited about Jose Mourinho. He had his finger in someone's eye
seasons ago.
Which is worse.
Which is much worse. You know, he was trying to extract the vitreous humour of a man's eyeball with his fingernail.
Which is horrendous behaviour.
Which, you know, but nobody ever talks about that. And obviously it's something horrendous. Obviously he should be banned for a very long time. But, you know, calling for him never to be allowed near a football pitch for the next 6 months, I think, is a little bit excessive. Mm.
Yeah, I agree with Peter. The media reaction was like he did a Cantona kung fu kick or something.
But it depends on, one, whether he's still under suspended sentence for the stuff he's done before. I'm not sure if he is or not. And really, I think, you know, and this won't happen for different political reasons, but Mike Ashley would be well within his rights to fire him for that.
Well, as I said, the Cup Run final, you know, it's a vote of confidence for a low quality individual that, you know, if he didn't want to pay that, how many years has he got left on his contract?
A long time. There must be a clause or something in it, though, so that he can get rid of him for
Well, exactly. I mean, that is, you know, bringing their club into disrepute so they could get rid of him if they wanted to.
And that's Mike Ashley's job, isn't it? If anything, he's treading on people's toes there.
I'd have loved to have known what Kinnear's reaction.
You know, if the LMA is not supporting you, you know, it's just like, well...
and they defend everyone all the time.
Just for the record, of course it's a shocking thing.
You headbutt a member of staff.
Yeah. You headbutt all the members of staff.
And you label the prat.
I thought it was... Steve Bruce didn't know what to do with himself in the post-match, did he? He was like, well, it was, you know, he's obviously... going to face punishment for that, blah, 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 blah. But actually, he was quite...
It's not for Steve Bruce to say.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. I thought it was a bit unfair for them to talk. But I suppose it's a fellow manager. But I thought you handled him...
It was a good win for Newcastle as well, whatever. I don't think the scoreline told the whole story of the game. I thought Hull had some good chances and Krull made a really good double save. Yeah. It was quite near the beginning of the game.
It's interesting what's going to happen with the rest of Krull's season because he's been dropped from the Dutch side.
Right.
And it looks like he won't go to the World Cup, so he'll probably leave in the summer. He has made noises about wanting to play Champions League football, so that might be... We might be seeing the last of...
That'd
Tim
be a shame.
A real shame.
I mean, surely he'll have a nod somewhere around the squad. I mean, I don't know if he won't be first choice. But
will they reckon that this next friendly that they're going to be playing is an indicator of who's going to be in the squad? That's what the Dutch manager's...
Like Stekelenburg was dropped as well, wasn't he, I think?
Yeah, so it's worrying for him, I think.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's a horrendous mistake, by the way, for the Remy goal. My goodness.
Yeah.
Absolutely outrageous stuff, man. Didn't help him, did it?
Yeah, no, but it was a brilliant away win for Newcastle and... Yeah, we shall see what action the FA take.
I've not really seen many Newcastle fans' reaction to the Pardew thing. I don't know if they've come out and sort of in general and sort of deplored him or.
Well, I think
everyone did, but I think more than that, I think they were just kind of surprised at the ferocity of the media. I think to a certain extent.
Okay, fair play to Pardew for keeping it interesting though, because Newcastle got nothing to play for. Nothing's going on. And there's nothing happening for them. Yeah. Is there? They're safe. They're not going to do anything else. So, I mean, fair enough, he's thinking of other ways to keep it interesting.
He's the product of his environment, effectively, because he's just getting bullied from above.
Out with John Carver. What did John Carver do a while back this season? He got in trouble, didn't
he? Was it against Southampton, was it? He had a brawl. I think our goalkeeping coach got involved as well. It's just, you know... Not a likeable bench, is it really?
There you go.
Hey. There was another 4-1 win in the Premier League on the weekend. See what I've done there? Well, did you see what they did there? It was Aston Villa 4, Norwich City 1. Much better from Villa. The Canaries went 1-0 up through Houlihan. Now, it's getting ridiculous now. We talk about players not celebrating. Apparently, Daniel Sturridge didn't celebrate against Man City and Chelsea. I've got...
That's disappointing.
That. Whatever it happened, he probably would now because they're going for the title.
Yeah.
But... we have talked about that. Houlihan, he didn't celebrate. And I was watching the highlights and I thought, why didn't... He seemed to be quite unhappy to score that. And then the commentator said something like, oh, he nearly moved to Villa in January.
God.
And I was like, oh, my God. So you're not going to celebrate against clubs that you fancy
it's
a
like
move
me,
to?
It's like me, and like you've seen me do this, it's like me going into McDonald's, buying a cheeseburger, purposely not enjoying it because there was a big queue in Burger King. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't like celebrating against Villa because my mum likes shopping in Birmingham.
The situation is mental as well because the crazy thing is, I thought at the time, because I didn't see the game initially, I had to watch it back, and because I saw the scoreline, I thought, oh, he scored that when they're 4-0 down.
Yeah.
Do you know
what
I mean? It's like one of those things. Or I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Or he's a Villa fan. You know, and he's well known as being a Villa fan, and that's one of those things, right?
Yeah.
Even then, I still wouldn't have been all for it, because it is his job to play against Villa. That's just the way it is.
Maybe he was just a bit sad.
But the fact is, Norwich...
I hate scoring goals.
That was a massive goal for Norwich at the time.
Yeah.
Right, they're in real trouble. They're 4 points off relegation. Now... their fixtures they've got left, right? Let me know, Houlihan, how you feel, right? In the last four games this Premier League season, in all probability, you're going to need to pick up points big time from these games. Mm. Last four games: Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal.
You'd fancy a move to any of those clubs, wouldn't you? So you better not be.
If I was, not only is it disrespectful to Norwich,
a perfect hat trick in the last minute. Yeah. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not celebrating that.
No. Not only is it disrespectful to Norwich fans to behave in that way, it's patronising to Aston Villa, right? It is. The other thing is, if I was playing and I laid that ball on the plate for Houlihan, he didn't celebrate.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a lot of his colleagues seem to try and make him celebrate, didn't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What are you doing? That's what I'd be saying.
He's played 184 matches for Norwich City, according to Wikipedia, and he's got 30 goals. Not a massive haul, not a massive haul for like an attacking midfielder.
But enough to know how to celebrate.
But enough to know, and he's old enough to sort of enjoy a goal.
Yeah.
He won't score many more, he's 30-odd.
Before you know it, your career's over, pal, so enjoy it while you can.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Dear, I think the referee should be allowed to just wrap him on the back of the legs.
I think it should be a bookable offence.
That's a red. As far as I'm concerned, that's a red.
It's a red leg.
Yeah. The referee's discretion of how much the club, we said this before, how much the club meant to the player.
Yeah.
In that situation, there is no evidence, no link beyond, and if you want to adopt the legal process, you can, beyond reasonable doubt that he has any link with that club other than a prospective transfer which didn't happen.
And if you're not sure, you'd have the dubious celebrations panel.
Yeah. There's nothing dubious about it, mate.
The kit man should have to administer a red river or a Chinese burn.
Yeah, I'm liking that.
You're going, you're going to disrespect the shirt. I'm going to disrespect your arms.
Yeah. The reason Villa beat him is because they thought they're taking the piss here. Yeah. They think they're going to get about five. That's why they're not celebrating.
He thinks he's good enough for us. Yeah, and then 15 or 16 minutes passed, and Villa were 4-1 up. What about Benteke's first goal? Delish.
Ridiculous.
He's not scored in a few weeks. So did he score one last week? I can't remember when he was last goal one.
People seem to think that Benteke's finally sort of coming to form.
He's a brilliant player.
He's actually been all right.
Yeah.
He scored 23 in his first, season in England. So
pretty sure he's got five of his last eight games. Yeah. I was looking at this earlier in my other job, and I'm pretty sure he's got five or so in eight games. Mm. The goal he scored at the weekend, though, was
for some reason. It felt like he hadn't scored for a little while.
I don't know why, but
statistics will prove
he scored in the defeat of Arsenal. He scored against Liverpool, and he scored against West Brom in that 4-3 game.
Yeah, but absolutely magnificent goal.
Yeah,
to make it 1-1.
Even for his, I think it was a header, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Besson couldn't get near him. And he's a very good defender.
Could have been a little bit of a foul, maybe. Was he?
When he's on his game, Benteke is a sort of player, sort of striker, who's an absolute nightmare to play against.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see him at the World Cup.
He's got all the assets, he really has.
And then Bakuna and Besson's afternoon goals.
Villa are a strange team this season, they really are. I mean, I think I'm right in saying, those four they scored at the weekend represent 25% of their home total this season.
It's a lovely stat.
I think they've only scored 16 goals in total at home this season. They've been so bad to watch at home. It's about time for those Villa fans that they got a little bit of something to cheer about in their home games, because they've really struggled. I mean, they lost at home to West Ham 2-0. It's dreadful.
Well, Lambert's got to really kick on next season. Mm. And try and keep certain players there. You'd imagine some people will want to get hold of them.
Well, they're another team though, Marcus, who although they look at their 11th on the table as we record this, but they're by no means safe.
No.
I mean, they still need, really, you'd think, at least a couple more wins to be sure of it. I know it's close down there. But they have got a reasonable run in. I mean, the last two games are at home to Hull, but they're away to Spurs on the last day, so they won't want to leave it to that.
But it must be frustrating a little bit with being if you're a Villa fan, because Birmingham's a huge city. It's the second city in England, for crying out loud, and they've had some great players play there over the years. They've got a good stadium. I understand, obviously, the billions of other clubs. I'm not saying they should be challenging for the title, but you would want a club like Villa to be.
They're a big club.
Yeah, they're a huge club.
Well, kick on like Newcastle. Newcastle are probably in a position that Aston Villa should really
be in. And they've been unfortunate with certain players moving away when, if they'd have stayed, they would have perhaps pushed on for European places or something like that. So, yeah, I do hope Villa can find some consistency next season.
Well, I think if they stay in the Premier League, which, I mean, I haven't said what I just said, I think they will do. Mm. I mean, I'm just saying it's not safe yet. There's a sort of semblance of an identity there. Lambert likes to bring young players through. He likes to play counter-attacking football. I have to say, although Ben Saka took all the plaudits at the weekend, I thought Ashley Westwood was very good in the middle of the park. I think he was sort of at the centre of all the good things they did. So that's encouraging because he's a young player, you know. And so, yeah, there's a lot to be cheerful about. I mean, it's not great in terms of the stats and how many goals they're not scoring, especially their home form, which at one point a few weeks ago, we might have mentioned it at the time, I think they had twice as many points away from home as they did at home, which is a really strange situation. But yeah, it was a really good win for them.
Yeah. Swansea won, Crystal Palace won.
Well, feel good moment of the weekend that for Glenn Murray.
Yes.
Yeah, listen, it was a contentious penalty, might have happened just outside the box, and you might even think it was a harsh red for Chico, but he won it and he took it very well post his stamp. And you know what? After such a long time out, I don't think even the most hard-hearted of Swansea fans would have ever crushed him that goal.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he was fantastic in the lower leagues, the football league. Played for Peterborough, was it?
Yes.
Was it Peterborough? Yeah, he scored an absolute hatful of goals. So it's good to see him in the Premier League. And then, of course, he gets injured and you're like, oh, come on. So back he comes into the side and gets the goal. But earlier on in the game...
No, I think you're thinking of Dwight Gale, mate. Murray's been at Palace for a while now. Yeah, he was.
Of course, he was at Brighton
before that. Yeah,
Murray was their scorer last season. Yeah, sorry, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Of course I am. Yeah, Murray scored loads of goals in the Championship last season because then they get promoted and he was a big part of their plans. Gets injured.
Yeah,
and he absolutely got it from.
I think he was out for about 16 months or something.
So yeah, good to see him back.
Yeah, really important sorry point about that, as well. Listen. Goodness me.
Yeah, but a lovely goal for Swansea, De Guzman.
Little
move, Bonnie with a little flick. And
yeah.
Barcelona-esque. I did find it funny on the Match of the Day highlights. You know, sometimes the captions for their highlight reels, when they go back and review some of the moments, they're called funny things.
They're a bit cheeky, aren't they?
Yeah, it was called Swansea Alona, that one.
Not sure that's a bit of a stretch,
I'm confused.
Barcelona, Swansea.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I think that's a stretch.
When you have to explain it shows...
I would say Swansea, like Barca.
Yeah, that would be much better.
What do you think about this Swansea situation? Because they're not too far off of relegation.
Yeah,
they've got an inexperienced manager who looks to be picking up points and doing okay.
I think they'll survive, surely.
Okay, fair enough.
I think they will, but it'll be interesting to see what they do next season.
Do you think that Fulham and Cardiff are gone?
Yeah, I mean,
because if you do, then you've obviously only got one place to worry about.
I mean, yeah, it's looking very, very bleak for Fulham. You just they're throwing everything they can at the wall and nothing is sticking.
Yeah, and Sunderland, for example, have got a couple of games in hand on them and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, decent point for Palace away at Swansea there. Spurs beat Cardiff 1-0, and it was so nice to see Soldado get a goal. Beautifully taken as well.
Valencia-esque finish.
Yes, it was.
Reminiscent of his time there. But I think that what was really pleasing, actually, and what would be pleasing for Spurs fans was how much it clearly meant to him.
Yeah.
Because he there you go, that's how you celebrate a goal. He wanted to get a goal really badly. Mm. He'd been a while without scoring one. And it looked encouraging that because he's a good player.
Yeah.
And he's the sort of player that Spurs, whoever their manager is, to take him into next season. I mean, there's talk that it won't be Sherwood. He's the sort of player you really want to stick at the club. And of course, from Soldado's point of view, wants to be in that World Cup squad, so he needs to start firing pretty quickly.
Well, absolutely. It must be so difficult coming from a different country as a very highly priced striker to go into a side who have got a couple of decent forward players, to say the least. Yeah. And you go in and you take a little bit of time to adapt. We've talked about that. Different country, totally different culture, different footballing culture as well. They've changed manager, all that sort of stuff. And also, you know, you've had a bit of a dip in form and people think, hang on a minute, you're this guy who's cost X amount of million, you've scored goals before, and you must get so down about that and so on your own back.
I've also heard in the grapevine he had a few personal problems over Christmas as well.
Okay.
And his wife, and so that obviously may not have helped his situation when it comes to settling in a new country, you know what I mean?
But I think that celebration where he kind of put his hands to his kind of face, didn't he? He was like, so relieved to get that.
Because it must be so frustrating for him because he knows he's a good player.
Exactly.
And especially when you're someone who's used to scoring all the time.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, if you look at it's a complicated situation for him at international level because the amount of players they've got in those positions. I mean, if you look at three...
Well, they hardly play with a striker, and even if they did, they've got...
Well, the most recent squad, they've picked Pedro Negredo and Diego Costa.
Yeah.
up front. The players they've left out in four positions, I believe, I think I'm right in saying, are David Villa, Llorente, Michu, who's obviously been there or thereabouts, Soldado, Teo and Torres. They've been missed out. You know, so
Llorente's really pulled his socks up at Juve scoring.
Sorry, he's got such a fart in his hands, and I think realistically, Soldado needs to start scoring goals pretty quickly.
Yeah.
To get to force his way in there, because obviously Negredo. Whereas, I mean, as far as I remember, those two seem to be a sort of head to head.
Negredo's an athlete, and when he came on, he's a beast.
Negredo's
he?
Moved on, hasn't he? He's certainly sort of hit the ground running. And Negredo's record, of course, he's playing for a better team, and they're making a lot of chances. And they were for a period in Man City where they were just scoring goals for fun. But Negredo's done pretty well.
He has done very well. Yeah, you do. It's concerning for Soldado's World Cup chances. But hopefully he can kick on and score.
He seems like a likeable chap. I'd like to see him go.
And he's a good player, as you say.
Very good player.
So well done then. Well done, Spurs. Stoke City beat Arsenal 1-0. Jonathan Walters with a penalty.
Fair play to him for stepping up and keeping taking it.
Well, he changed his side. Normally hits it laces.
Yeah.
And goalkeeper's right. Yeah. He's side-footed it, goalkeeper's left.
Yeah.
So, fair enough.
Just on that, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that Laurent Koscielny has given the most penalties away in the Premier League since 2010 when he came here.
Wow.
I find it quite odd because, of course, Stoke were worth their win and Arsenal didn't create an awful lot, did they?
No.
But there seems to be a sort of conventional wisdom which says that everyone sort of knew that Arsenal would tail off. And they would start to tire towards the end of the season. But if you remember last season...
They started badly and then got better as the season went.
I think I'm right in saying they got 28 points out of 30 in their last 10 games last season. Mm. So actually, and of course it's a different situation, different players, different fixtures and stuff like that. If they do that now, there's 10 games left. If they do that now, I mean, God, they're going to be up there.
Yeah, you know. Well, we talked about the tricky period that's coming for them. But
it's not over for them yet, though.
What I was going to say, Pete, do you think that they're 4 points now behind Chelsea and they've got some very hard fixtures?
I tell you, as Luke was saying, Koscielny's constantly seems to be up for giving away penalties. When you've got players like that have a bit of a reputation, not only outside of the squad, but inside the squad as well, whenever they've got the ball or whenever there's an opportunity where you can jump in, you know, your team's just going to go, what do they do? Do they stand there? Do they go and attack the ball themselves? Because they don't want to give him the responsibility of giving away a penalty. It just sends panic throughout the back four, and that's something you don't need. And that's not something you kind of equate with Arsene Wenger's side. They're calm, they're collected.
That's right.
The key figure at this time of the season is momentum, isn't it? I mean, and if you think, okay, which teams have got league momentum, then you've got to say, at the moment, it's Liverpool and Chelsea.
Yeah.
And so Arsenal are really, if anything, they're going slightly the other way. And all I'm trying to say is if they can turn it around. I mean, they've only lost two of their last 10 Arsenal in the league. It's not completely disastrous.
And Chelsea and Liverpool, by virtue of the fact that Liverpool let a canny few in the back, and Chelsea are only winning by 1 and 2, I think, you know, if Arsenal can just put a few matches together where they stick a couple past them. I don't know what the goal difference is, but I imagine when it comes to the end of the season, that might count.
Yeah,
that really might count, because Chelsea aren't winning by massive margins like the Man City's have at home recently.
They all need to play each other, though. Arsenal go away to Chelsea. They've got City at home.
And look how Man City handled Stoke last week. You know, it was only a narrow win, really.
That's true.
And
Everton nearly got a point at Stamford Bridge, although Everton are one of the league's better sides.
And look how Man City started the match in the Carabao Cup this weekend. Oh, you know, they didn't look like a championship winning side the first half, certainly.
Arsenal need to just get it together quickly. They've got Everton next in the cup, and I think that's the game of the weekend, really. They've obviously got the Bayern Munich thing, which I think is going to be tough for them, of course. And they've got the North London derby. Then they go away to Chelsea, at home to City, and they're away to Everton in the league. So they've really got, if they are going to do something, they've got to do it now. They've got to move now. And I don't think they're going to have much chance if they don't start to turn it around pretty quickly. I really think that actually Liverpool look good because they've still got to play some key teams at Anfield this season. They still play Chelsea at Anfield
this season.
They've
probably got the most preferable run in.
Mm-hmm. Arsenal need a leader in the back four. Like Sol Campbell, that's all I'm saying.
Well, that is a man who's been in the press recently. Mm. What do you make of that, Pete?
I think it's interesting.
He said, by the way, we should say, in case you haven't seen that story, that he's suggesting that if he was because of, well, as he said, the colour of his skin, that he wasn't the England captain for probably 10 years. He said he was club captain because the FA perhaps wanted a white guy instead. Someone like Michael Owen, who's... You don't immediately think of Michael Owen as being a captain.
He seemed more annoyed about when on the few matches when the main guy wasn't there. When Alan Shearer finished and it was handed to David Beckham, that was kind of like the point that you'd think that it should really have gone to Sol Campbell. But I think in many ways he's proved himself not to be the most kind of level-headed of guys when it comes to, like, you know, going missing at half-time and in matches and stuff like that. But
I'd say Rio Ferdinand would probably have a better claim.
Yeah, and you know, everyone's making the point of Paul Ince and stuff like that. But what I would say is that I think the media have a responsibility of pushing narratives when it comes to captaincies, because, you know, fundamentally, you know, captaincies don't, it doesn't matter.
Teams just do it, who give it to the person with the most caps, basically.
Well, Beckham was given it because of the ambassador kind of role.
Exactly. But what I would say is I think the media do have a responsibility. Players like Frank Lampard, players like Alan Shearer, players like David Beckham, the media sort of round on these sort of players and go, oh, England's brave, David Beckham, England's brave, John Terry, and England's, you know, and they sort of pump them up to being bigger than they actually are and having more of an influence. I think what I would argue is that black players are misrepresented and badly represented in the nation's press. And, you know, podcasts and stuff like those, we're probably just as much to blame to a certain extent. Some guy from the Tuesday Club made the point that, I don't listen, I must admit, but somebody was telling me about it, and he sort of said that when black players are big, they're beasts, and when white players are big, their units. And when, even though I know you called Soldado a beast about 5 minutes ago.
Well, Negredo. Well, that's his nickname. Yeah, I take your point.
And also, can you remember when, like, Theo Walcott came up? And, you know, and everyone's going, isn't he a polite fella? Isn't he lovely and polite and really well-spoken? Why the fuck wouldn't he be?
You know,
I genuinely think it's a fundamental sort of, you know, because everyone writing about football is white. Everyone in, there's nobody in Soho Square that's in the upper echelons of the FA who are of mixed race or even black.
Well, they may have moved to Wembley, but sorry, that's a pedantic point. But yeah, sorry,
pedantic bastard. But, but what I would say is that I just think a lot of people writing about football are, you know, white 50-year-old men.
Somebody, I think she may even be a comedian, actually. She was talking about... I'm so sorry, I forget her name.
It's all right, she's just a woman.
No, it's clearly... I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the person who was giving this opinion, but I think it was on a documentary maybe Clark Carlisle was doing. And she said that black players are never described as intelligent players. Do you know what I mean? Like, so Iniesta or Xavi... Or I don't know, somebody like that. You call him intelligent. They say, but you never hear a black man. He's always, you know, physical and all these kind of stereotypes. It's interesting.
Just to bring it back to, like, the Sol Campbell thing, he captained the club I support for a while, and interestingly enough, I do agree with the overarching point that Pete's making about how the football, of course, has questions to answer as the game in general in terms of racism, of course it does. But on the Sol Campbell point specifically, Sol Campbell was well known around. Around Portsmouth from media friends of my journalists and people who followed the team. Mm-hmm. Of course, when Portsmouth were actually doing things in the Premier League and travelling overseas, for being quite an aloof character, he famously wouldn't like it if another player sat near him to or from games on planes and stuff like that. Okay. Now, that may well be... I've spoken to... I mean, as you guys know, I did an interview with Matt Murray once, the ex-Wolves keeper, and he said that actually to get in his focus... He would not like to give anyone a lift to the game, or he wouldn't like to... Mm-hmm. To the point of where he wouldn't even sleep in the same room as his wife the night before because he wants such a good night's sleep. Now, which is absolutely fine. Everyone's got their own preparation for that. But then you wonder whether if you have to be like that as a character to perform, then maybe you're not necessarily captain material. And I think that it's... With Campbell's... I mean, I can remember Campbell not that long ago, probably about 6 months ago, maybe a bit longer than that, saying that he was struggling to get coaching opportunities and he may have to go abroad to get them, and he thought it was because of racism. So he has at least got some consistency on this point, and maybe, you know, who are we to say whether he has or hasn't got a point? But I don't know whether... the colour of his skin or his race has anything to do with whether he was a captain of England or not.
Yeah, well, he's not the best example. I think he's got points to make.
Absolutely. But if you look at all the games that England have had in... You know, if you were to... I don't know the facts, but if you were to take a poll of every single game England played and how many games were captained by a white man, how many captained by a black man, it would be... in my view, I would guess it would be vastly weighted towards white people.
Well, I mean, but I think your point you need to say there is the ratio would be wrong, because obviously there would be more.
There would be, yeah. But
obviously, there'd be more white guys captain exactly because of the history of England. Yeah. The English football is more white places, but the ratio would be. Would be imbalanced.
Waited,
excuse your turn of phrase, ratio.
Just to finish this, I'm not trying to make light of a serious situation, but Sven did come out and say that wasn't the reason. I'm sorry. I'm always loathe to say it, but it's a part of the media story.
The original point that spoiled this off was the Arsenal thing, and a little bit of credit is probably due to Mark Hughes, who's got an excellent record against Arsenal.
He does.
He's beaten them with QPR, Blackburn, City and now Stoke.
Yeah. It's got Wenger's number. Saying.
Well done.
Yeah. And Stoke have also beaten Arsenal, Chelsea and Man United at the Britannia Stadium.
Yes, indeed they have. Quickly to the Championship. There was a massive game, Burnley derby. Burnley won it 2-0. Massive win for Sean Dyche's team. Second against third, that was. Fantastic opening goal. I think it was Jones who scored it. And Burnley looking likely to grab that second place now, 5 points above Derby. Big controversial decision in that game.
Burnley's the only team who have still got their unbeaten run at home.
Oh, is that right?
In that league.
Sean Dyche, the Ginger Mourinho, they call him.
We're talking about momentum, second ago in the terms of the Premier League. Championship is being proven as well. Leicester and Burnley, teams occupying the top two places in the division. They haven't lost.
They've had momentum all season.
They haven't lost for ages.
When Derby were the ones who have the momentum, who were going to challenge them, but Burnley have said nope, not this weekend.
I'd go as far as to say I don't think Leicester or Burnley have lost this year in the league.
Oh, okay.
So I mean that
can be proved,
because Derby have. I mean, Derby started off.
Disproved.
Derby obviously got a massive lift when McLaren came in.
Yeah.
But they seem to sort of stutter every so often. I mean, they won three in a row before this game.
Yeah.
And then they knew when it really counted, they had to beat Burnley.
Yeah.
Or at least take a point.
It was a shame for Derby, because there was a controversial decision where I think it was Martin. He was on a booking. And he was adjudged to have dived in the box when the play went up. Now, it's difficult to see from the replay. I've only seen it a couple of times to see whether it was a dive or not. But he goes down, and the ball breaks. As he goes down, the ball breaks to, I forget which Derby player it was, who sticks it in the net. So you think, oh, well, it doesn't matter if they got the penalty or not. They've scored. The referee blows, disallows the goal, gives him a second booking for diving, and so they don't get the penalty, they don't get the goal, and their man gets sent off. And it was such a kick in the teeth of Derby, it really was.
I'd like to draw you guys' attention to Reading 1, Yeovil Town 1.
Please.
It's not in the running order, but I thought I'd mention it anyway, because Yeovil got a draw.
Is that a hooped derby?
Away from home. Yes. Yeah. Got a draw away from home. Three men sent off. Ended the game with eight men.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah. And Gary Johnson was just funny. In the post-match, I forget the exact words, but he was asked about it, obviously. And I think they're going to appeal one or two of the Reds anyway. But he said, well, we dealt with it, didn't we? We dealt with it.
Yeah, they did. They got the point. I've never seen... I've only seen once four men get sent off. And
Is that when the game has to be stopped?
Five,
okay.
Four men sent off when Hearts were away. The Magnificent Gorgie Boys were away to Rangers at Ibrox. And they had four men sent off. The referee was dishing out the cards left, right and centre. All right, ref, how long to go? Well, that's a booking.
Yeah.
That's a red. Get off.
I once got booked for saying "and again." That have I told you that before?
No.
I played the ball to someone for a 1-2. Played it. The ref was right near me.
Oh, because it was again. Obstruction.
And I think he thought I insulted him and he booked me for it.
No, but you've got to put a name on it.
And again.
No, you can be booked for that. You've got to put your name on a shout.
And again, Luke Moore.
That's what you've got to say.
All right, there's a lot of midfielders.
Just because people... Do you think everybody knows you, mate?
I was about 15 at the time.
Name and number.
Yeah.
Well, three.
I used to play with that. It was called Mark Scott. And I could never figure out whether he was shouting, Mark's got...
I've played
Scott.
With him as well. I know
it's
you
confusing.
Mean, yeah.
Either way, he didn't.
In this game, Reading threw the kitchen sink at Yeovil. They had 30 shots. They still couldn't win.
Well, whereas in the game with Rangers and Hearts, Hearts played the game, played for 20 minutes with seven men. and Rangers only scored one goal. Because Rangers were obviously quite embarrassed by the situation. Yeah. They were like, let's take it easy. Coisty couldn't help himself.
No.
Big Ali McCoist was like, well, I'm going to improve my tally.
So Yeovil in this situation, it could really galvanise them, because they're obviously still in the relegation zone. They're only a few points adrift, but that could really kick them on. if they can really turn it to their advantage, because essentially they had 3 minutes and a half. They scored an own goal in the game as well, and they still didn't lose.
He said, "I've got no." Gary Johnson said, "I've got no complaints on the day. The red cards weren't for viciousness.
Nothing vicious.
That's all right then."
That's what they're going to say on their appeal. It was nothing vicious. That's all right then.
Superb. That was superb. Should we go abroad?
Yes.
Let's go abroad. La Liga. Oh, the Madrid derby.
Yeah.
Atleti was so close. Cristiano Ronaldo, he got the equaliser. It ended 2-2. That would have been such a massive win for Atleti. They'd have been right back in it. But I'm afraid not. Benzema scored early on. Then Coca with a crisp strike. And Gabby put Atleti ahead.
Beauty.
The 35-yarder. Yeah. Swerving all the way to the bank.
Is it fair to say that was a tempestuous derby?
When was the last time Atletico won that match? It's been a long
time. What, the derby? Well, they won the cup final.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they beat them earlier in the Bernabeu. In the season.
Okay, at home, though.
I don't know, but they beat them in the Bernabeu.
That's a trivia question. Yeah. Do you think I am?
Give us a... Ask us that before the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely beat them recently in this particular derby. But
that was some goal from Gabby, though, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. There was a bit of argy-bargy, to say the least. Who is that guy in the Atleti backroom staff that Simeone was having to hold back? He's an absolute monster.
John Carver.
Yeah, that was John Carver. John Charver. It was... he's an absolute tank, that player. I don't know who he was. And Simeone, because it's Simeone. You wouldn't fancy facing him, would you?
No, he was
calmed down, but this guy, he took about five of them to try and pull him back. Bloody hell,
brilliant.
So there was a lot going on, and then Ronaldo actually missed a really good chance before he scored, and you thought Atleti are going to hold out here, but then I forget which defender it was, he got the ball caught up under his feet, and then the cross came in and it was a bit of a scramble, and Ronaldo with a nice
finish.
They're
having a fun season, it's fine.
Are they?
I think both teams are.
Yeah,
having a fun season.
I think Atleti, this is like, it's such a good opportunity for them to win. The way Simeone plays, many people have said that they're probably going to tire a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Barcelona with Martino in charge, slight, well, transition, if you can call it that, for Barcelona. They're still fantastic, obviously. Real Madrid, you'd imagine Barcelona and Real Madrid will become stronger next season.
Benzema's in really good form.
And in the same way, you could argue that this is probably Liverpool's best chance to win the league for perhaps 2 or 3 years. Yeah, OK, they might make some fabulous
just because it's a funny season, basically.
Exactly, yeah. And you would imagine Chelsea and Manchester City in particular to strengthen in the summer quite
this is what
boldly.
I mean, it seems like a long time ago now, but this is why I thought Spurs or Arsenal had a really good chance. But I mean, Real Madrid started off like a house of fire, didn't they? Benzema scored so early on. He's in such good form. You actually fancy him to get another few. I think he scored 6 in his last 5.
But when Atleti turned it round, you thought...
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, just the way that Benzema finished the game against Schalke in the Champions League, I mean, he was just irresistible. He scored 2.
How good was that? The last goal in that?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
That should have been worth about 6.
Well, in those trivia questions about the finest goals that don't mean anything, that's got to be up there.
Klaas Huntelaar.
Yeah.
Yeah, check that one out if you haven't seen it. But it was a good result for Barcelona. They beat Almeria 4-1. They moved to within a point of Madrid. Mm. So Atleti down to third. In Ligue 1, Paris Saint-Germain beat Marseille. I was going to say Barcelona.
Barcelona.
I was too busy caught up in La Liga still. Yeah. And but it's the first time since September, apparently, that Ibra didn't score at the Parc des Princes.
But Lucas Moura.
Lucas Moura nearly scored the greatest goal
what
of all time.
What is Rod Fanny doing? That was not the short cross almost cleared Zlatan's overhead kickoff the line.
Yeah.
Funny, it's not what you're there for. You're ruining the game. You're an enemy of football doing
that.
Oh,
my goodness. Pete, talk us through it.
I was still in bed when I texted you two, going, have you seen...
It was 4 in the afternoon.
Was it? Probably was, actually. Thinking about it. That's how my sleeping patterns work. But, yeah, he just chucked the ball past everyone.
Well, he picked the ball up deep in his own half.
Let the listeners have it in their head. George Weah, the famous George Weah run.
I bet it was better than that.
Because he didn't lose the ball.
It would have been one of the greatest goals of all time. The way he turned the man was beautiful skill. He beat, I think it was 5 or 6 men. The pace.
But the great thing about those
and
types
the finish,
of run.
He a little dink over the keeper.
Yeah, because the great thing about those types of run is the keeper can see it all happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he thinks, I've got to stop this. And he legs it out, Hugo Lloris style.
Yeah.
And obviously, Moura dinks it over. Well, the Marcus Spurrier, he's got to give him an honorary Marcus Spurrier Dink of the Week award.
Yeah.
Not, it wasn't even a goal that he's getting.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And then Rob Fane just sprints back, just clears it off the line. Everyone in the whole world, apart from like a handful of Marseille fans, are just like, what are you doing?
Idiot. You've ruined the greatest moment in the history of the game.
It's horrible.
It's such a long run, it only just fits on a vine.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, such a shame. Cavani scored a nice one, though. Doesn't make up for it, does
no,
it?
Nothing no. makes up
but
for it.
But it was a nice goal, and they won the game. But Solomon Kalou with a hat-trick for Lille, away to Ajaccio. How about that, eh? Collector's item. Well done there. Well
I like Solomon Kalou. He's a nice chap.
And we're going to finish the main bulk of the show, going to Brazil. Of course, it's another Moggy Mirren update, isn't it?
Mm.
Ronaldo announced the sacking of the team's manager on Instagram.
Not even the best social network.
Creative player, creative chairman.
What filter did he use?
I've no idea.
The P45 one.
Supporters were angry at the way the news was communicated, rightly so, and said it wasn't fair on the now former manager. Rivaldo clarified the situation, saying he already knew. I actually let him go in the dressing room in front of the whole team.
That's all right, then.
As long as he wasn't disgraced, that's absolutely fine. It's absolutely fine. Oh, and also, a picture you must check out, ladies and gentlemen, is it was Carnival in Brazil, of course, as it was in many parts of the world, as it tends to be this time of year. Ronaldo was one of the stars of the show. He was on top of an enormous float, very elaborate, with the usual trimmings, and the big man was wearing a gold-coloured suit and tie.
It's just why I'll always be the real Ronaldo. Whatever Cristiano Ronaldo does on the pitch, and there's a good, you know, he scored a good goal against Atletico in the Madrid derby.
Yeah.
So what? The real Ronaldo sat on a float in a gold suit surrounded by women. Simple as that.
Yeah. There's nothing like seeing like a Brazilian striker like in his pomp. I remember there's a documentary about Rivaldo and also Romario as well.
Oh, yeah.
And they're both in like their respective houses and they've been waited on by servants.
Oh,
they're practically peeling grapes and stuff. That was wonderful. I love it.
But like, you know, one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
Set the bar for the modern player.
I bet
Ronaldo.
He's got a gold shotgun somewhere. I just know he has.
Are you telling me, right, that really, really
it's
great
a player... Scaramanga now.
Would you prefer a really genuinely all-time great player to do a really bad job in management or do a really rubbish pundit job or sit in a gold suit and just knock it about at Carnival? Of course that's a much better thing to do.
Oh dear, right, now it's time for Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's game. Thank you to Owen Kalainen, I think. Or Kalainen, I think that's how you spell his name, pronounce his name rather. Two partridge themed options for the name. You can either have Mid Morning Juan Matters, which
yeah,
is good.
I like that.
Nice
Knowing
one.
Me, knowing Yuri Jokiev.
Yeah, that'll do.
Either right. Are fine.
Couldn't
yeah.
think of a decent pun based
good.
On Skirmish, a military based quiz show.
Yeah.
I was
UK
born,
Conquest.
Here are the clues, and remember, Jim's not in, so you've got more chance. Or less chance, I'm not sure. I was born on the 21st of March, 1968, in Telford, Shropshire.
1968. I got that off of this clue last time, didn't I?
Stop. Mm. Julian Joachim.
No. Nice to hear him, though.
Yeah.
My middle name is Robert.
Telford in Shropshire in 68, did you say?
Yes. I have played for several clubs, including Ipswich Town, Real Sociedad, Al Ittihad, and Daewon Citizen in South Korea.
Ooh.
Daewon.
I won't know.
I made over 240 career appearances, scoring over 75 goals.
Who are the clubs again, mate? The English clubs?
Ipswich and Sociedad are obviously
Sociedad.
Yeah.
I have one cap for the England B team, and it would have been when Ipswich were really good as well.
Yeah. Stop. No, it was Marcus Stewart, is it?
No.
I was just saying, yeah, but he played for Yeovil, he played for...
Stop, is it Marcus Bent?
No,
Bent played for... Did he not play for Everton enough?
Yeah.
He played for...
Could just not have listed it.
I have crafty.
One cap for the England B team.
You already said that
one.
Sorry.
That.
I have a League Cup winner's medal, having scored in the final.
Oh.
Andre Kinshelsis was sent off in the 90th minute of that game.
I can't remember that. Stop. It's never Chris Kiwamir, is it?
Stop.
No.
Oh.
Is it Dean Saunders?
No, it's not Dean Saunders.
No, it's got to be Dean Saunders.
At the club where I spent the longest period, I was part of a deadly duo with a renowned Welsh striker. This partnership was split
which
up
is Dean Saunders.
All right, fair enough.
When we were sold to Turkish
oh,
teams.
Oh, crap. No, I've not got it.
Here we go. In addition to the above-named clubs, I've played for Fenerbahce, Mets, Manchester City, Sheffield Wednesday.
Stop! Mark Prembridge.
No, Hyundai, Mortars and Aston Villa.
Oh, this is piss poor. I should be able to get this.
I have twice
I can picture him, and I know his strike part, which I guessed
Stop.
Earlier.
Is it Dalian Atkinson?
Yes.
Goodness for that.
I have twice played for a manager who has the same surname as me, including when I won the aforementioned League Cup winner.
Sorry
medal.
About that, listen.
Excellent.
Thank you all, and that was fantastic.
They'll
that was a good one.
They'll be happy because they've got it before us.
He did the pullback and reveal with the other clubs.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Like that.
The kind of naughty, but kind of well played.
The bait and switch.
I like he's got the Irish spelling of the name Owen, E-O-I-N. And after the word Owen, he says, pronounced Owen, like Michael Owen. But he doesn't help me spell his... pronounce his last name, which is O-C-U-I-L-L-E-A-N-A-I-N.
Lovely
Kalanen.
Yeah.
Nice one.
But thank you, Owen.
Yeah. Sorry, Pete, that is really Kalanen. Boring.
I didn't think it was. Nice little listen.
Shut your row.
Quickly, correspondence. Let's whisk through
quick
that.
Correspondence, because we've got much time left.
Yes.
Question of the week. How would you punish Alan Pardew for his head-related indiscretion at the weekend? I purposely went for head-related indiscretion because a few people tried to pipe up and said it wasn't really a headbutt.
I'd ban his head from his shoulders.
Well, I didn't ask you.
Oh, medieval.
So, yeah, Kelvin Farrell on the Facebook comes straight in and says, a new six-year contract. your friend of mine, Ed Tullett, says, a naked headbutt fight to the death against Tony Pulis.
Oh, on very strong answer.
I wasn't going to include this one, but because he's not here, I will anyway. Lee Warburton says, I'd invite him to one of Jim's stand-up shows. That's a dig.
Good. Jim won't listen to this.
Good.
That's so fine.
Good.
That's a dig. Jonathan Grant on the Twitter, rebrand him so he must be referred to by players, press and even his own family as the Sports Direct Fight Gimp.
That's excellent. That's definitely my favourite this week.
Stuart Adamson, a boot round the face from Alan Shearer. Show him how it's meant to be done. And one final one from Chris Kington on the Twitter, automatic qualification to the Europa League.
Yeah. Into Total Cup.
Into Total Cup trophy.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. Wow. Well, that's what we've got time for, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to join in with the Twitter bants, it's at Football Ramble. Mm-hmm. And of course, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The website is thefootballramble.com. Wonderful things happening over there. Pete.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio, 12:15 AM, and at absoluteradio.co.uk and on FM as well. We're off to Selhurst Park for Crystal Palace versus Southampton. Should be good.
Lovely job. Pete, one more thing.
Go on, the Eagles.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Luke.
Goodbye.
That's cheery bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.